not at the end, but at the beginning, began to leak into the so-called church. And we quit believing everything that was in the Word of God. And people began to bring a social gospel rather than the true gospel. And then the spirit of Antichrist swept into the educational system. Because if the spirit of Antichrist can be in the elementary school, he for sure will be in the graduate school. I want no doctor working on me who believes in the idiotic theory of evolution. You have to be a stone-cold, ignorant person to believe in that. It is nonsense, and it's the spirit of Antichrist. And yet, your lauded scientific community, almost to a person, believe in some sort of the theory of evolution and the idea of a God creating things is for the simple-minded people that don't understand stuff. That is the spirit of Antichrist. And it is flooded then, but when you flood the education system with it, well then everything else, business and government, is all flooded with that spirit of Antichrist. And when you don't go along with it, because we're traveling in the camel train with Eleazar, and the Holy Ghost says, no, that's not of me. He'll tell you what's not of him. And when the devil comes and lies to you and says, you'll never get out of the darkness, you'll never get out of this predicament, you'll always think these thoughts, these poor thoughts about yourself. What I'll tell you what I have run into in the experience of our ministry over the last 40 years. And that I have run into to this feeling of self-hatred, self-loathing, that we're never good enough, that no matter what we do, we'll never quite measure up, and people will never, listen to me, people will never truly accept you. They only accept you because you put a front up. If they really knew you, that they would reject you, and you would be all alone. And that really you're a pile of garbage. And you could put a nice set of clothes on, but underneath you know you're a pile of garbage. And never forget that you're a pile of garbage. This is what so many people battle with. And listen, you can cover it up. You can cover it up. Now, I am a little different than some people. But on that horse ride yesterday, horses do their business wherever they want to do their business. And by the looks of things, they got some really rich hay up there. And a horse ahead of me did his business. And I'm sorry, I kind of like the smell of horse manure, all right? I was raised up around that kind of stuff, and it's all right with me. It's not. I didn't say pig manure, I said horse manure. And... but let me tell you something. You can spray perfume on manure, but at the end of the day, it's still manure. And as a Christian, you want to fit in and you want to be faith-filled in all of this. And you spray a little perfume over the manure of your life. But you're the one that knows deep down, I'm still the same person I always was. Because the devil will tell you, nothing's really changed. You're still that person. You're still the person that was picked on. You're still the person with acne. You're still the person that's too fat or too skinny or too short or too bald or too this or too stupid or not talented enough. You're that person. You don't fit in. You are a reject. You're outside looking in, and you'll always be outside looking. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm just going to tell you, because this is not in any of my notes, but I'm telling you this by the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, the devil knows it, and the Holy Ghost knows it, and the Holy Ghost is the cure for that kind of nonsense thinking that the devil has put in you since you were a little kid. And I'm here to declare in the name of Jesus that you don't have to live with that anymore. I'm feeling that right now. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children. Don't you ever forget that you are a God. And you're traveling in Eleazar's camel train. We got off the devil's train. We're not going to serve Him. We're not going to bow to Him. No, we might not be perfect, but we're in the right train. We're headed in the right direction. Hallelujah. We're not heading for the Gentile camp. We're not even heading for the Esau camp. We're not headed for some other camp. We're headed to Isaac's camp. Glory to God. You're of God. Underline it. Highlight it. Put it on your mirror. Ye are of God, little children. And have overcome them. Colon. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. All right, let's ask the hard question. How can a born-again believer be depressed, oppressed, discouraged, and downtrodden, and not without seeing, and they read their Bible and they pray and they still struggle with it? We're going to get real. I probably couldn't get this real on Sunday morning, but I can get this real on Sunday night. Let's not ignore that whole stuff. Our battles, the internal battles that we face here and then here. And don't raise your hand. Wouldn't you like to be free from that stuff? Wouldn't you like to be able to go to bed, relax, knowing that Jesus is with me, and I'm all right. I want to talk a little bit about our enemy. He's real. Once you get born again, he doesn't quit. We just pull the teeth out. But he's a bully, and he tries to manipulate us against ourselves. And if he cannot convince you that you're not really a good Christian, he'll try to convince you of some other lie. He's always trying to convince us of this, and he uses your past against you. Whatever it is. No wonders you got a divorce. No wonders. No wonders nobody likes you at work. No wonders you didn't get the promotion. How many here believe that Apostle Paul was a righteous apostle? Once he got right, he got right. Well, he tells something in 2 Corinthians. He said, you know, God has shown me a lot of visions and revelations. And he said, you know, so that I wouldn't get puffed up, something happened to me, and I have a thorn in my side. Oh, have we heard theological discussions? What was Paul's thorn in his side? Some people said it was his vision because they said his eyes, historians say he had bad eyes, and sometimes they would run like crazy, like when the blossoms are out in Phoenix. They take that from where, and if you could, you would have given me your own eyeballs. And so they take that, and that's his thorn. I submit that it is not his thorn. It's not a hernia. But Paul says, it was a messenger from Satan to buffet me. Just so you understand the term buffet. Buffet means to hit with a closed fist. It's not a slap, but to buffet. When it says Jesus was buffeted by those people, they took their knuckles and they punched him in the face. And that's what the devil sends messengers from hell against God's people, to buffet them, to keep them down so they can never truly enjoy life and the freedom that Jesus has purchased. It's always to keep us a little bit discouraged and downtrodden. It's always just to say, well, what could have been? So we live with regrets of past mistakes or what we perceived as faults in our lives. And he is consistent with it. And he sends his messengers from hell to buffet you and to buffet me. So Paul says, I don't like this. He said, I prayed three times. I want to say, is that it? I prayed three times. And the Lord said, buddy, listen to me. The Lord told him, in your weakness, I am made strong. My grace is sufficient for you. What he is saying is, I will see you through this thing. And it will not dominate you. It will not stop the ministry I have called you to. It will not stop what I want to do in your life. And you will have victory over this. Trust me. The only thing I know that is powerful enough to come against the buffeting, of Satan against believers' lives is the power of the Holy Ghost. The Old Testament says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that God will raise up the standard. Well, the standard is the Spirit of the living God that He has given us. Hallelujah. And it's high time you and I got fed up with this kind of thing in our lives. For you to sit in your chair and saying, I am, and the older you get, you start to reminisce. When you're young, you got things happening and so forth. But you get to my age, it's like, have I done anything of worth? And you start thinking about, man, I don't know. Who have I affected, even for Jesus' sake, and all of this? Friends, it's nonsense. Don't think it. Walk with Jesus. He's in charge. We spend too much time listening to the devil. You can be free. You can listen to me. He will always come. But let's turn the buffet around. Let's punch him in the face. Every time he shows up, there's no opening here. There's no opening here. You see, for years, he's used those old things in your life as an opening to wheedle his way in order to get you discouraged and despondent. He's always had those doors. And I am telling you tonight, if you want it, the Holy Ghost will close those doors and those windows to Satan so that you can live free. You can speak about Jesus whenever you want. You won't ever have to go to bed feeling condemned and unworthy. You'll never have to get up in the morning wondering who's going to reject you that day. You'll understand that every last one of those things is a lie from the enemy, and you can walk tall. You can walk sure. Hallelujah. You know that your steps are ordered of the Lord because you're righteous by the blood of Jesus, and you can overcome everything. I don't have time tonight, but if you'll take the time this week to open your Bible to Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. In there, Jesus himself is addressing the seven churches of Asia Minor, and he tells them at the end of everyone, to him who overcomes, I will do this for and that for, and the rewards are great. But we've got to determine we will overcome. In the Revelation says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the word of our testimony is, I belong to Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is in me, and the devil's not going to have my mind. He's not going to have my ears. He's not going to have my eyes. He's not going to have my mouth. He's not going to have my tongue. He's not going to have my nose. He's not going to have anything. And I tell you something else tonight. You can tear the covering off all your manure, and you will not intimidate the Holy Spirit. He will not look at you and go, no. He'll say, bring it on. I brought me a pitchfork. We're going to clean that manure out. See, a lot of us say we're Spirit-filled, but we're not really. Because there's corners of our heart. There's corners of our soul that are still blackened and bruised. They're still there. Well, you're not filled until you're filled. Every whip, every bit, every corner, everything. Everything. I said everything. Without exception. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. everywhere in my life. I don't want to drag my past with me everywhere I go. With Pigpen and Snoopy, the peanut thing. I won't be like Pigpen dragging around my old dirt all my life. And all these things that the devil keeps bringing up. And you did this and you did that. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus washes clean. It's powerful enough to cleanse you from the worst sin that you can imagine. And then some. And then the Holy Ghost comes in and says, I'm going to cure you. Come, Tim. Tonight we're just going to open these altars and we're going to come back to do business with God. I wonder if anybody is here that's saying, listen, I will not be satisfied until I'm full of the Holy Ghost and power. I will not be satisfied until I have a cure for my whole life. All of my past needs to be cured so it cannot be used against me one more time. And my feelings of rejection and lack of acceptance, I'm going to lay at this altar that the Holy Ghost can deal with them. I'm not saying it's a magic thing and tonight you'll be all hippy-skippy, but I'm telling you, if you'll start the process, the Holy Ghost is faithful. He will keep the process up and day after day after day, hallelujah, He'll take that stuff out of you so it will not become the battle that you've had to battle time and time and time again. So, here is the altar. And I can feel the Holy Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Jesus never fails. The cure is in the house tonight. He takes his job very seriously to get the bride to the right place. Come on. Come on. Come on. I don't know your life. I don't need to, but I know somebody who does. Refuse to go through this life uncured. Kundarishi and Rabaridisoya. Sundarabaradesaya. I can feel him. I can feel him. He's here. He's here. He's here. Oh. Some of you wonder why you have not been healed. It's not your problem. It's His problem. You feel rejected because you prayed and you're not healed yet. And you have these feelings like maybe God don't care. Get rid of them. Get cured of that. He cares for you intimately. He knows how to take care of you. And He will take care of you. Sorry, Thank you.